This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Sheriff Kevin Coppinger, seeking re-election for Essex County Sheriff. And Sheriff Coppinger, welcome, and good to be talking with you again.
Same here, Bill. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's always nice to speak with you and you know, just kind of catch up on things and things, how things here at the jail. And I'm glad to see, you know, have you back in the game.
Okay, so it's good. Well, you know, you're seeking re-election, which is really for the first time, elected 6 years ago. And the big primary coming up, as we know it, on our post right after Labor Day on Tuesday, September 6th. So this is the big election coming up here. So we're zeroing in on that. But for our listeners, tell us about the Essex County Sheriff's Office. What do you do there?
You know, it's a lot of activity up here on a constant basis. But just to put it in perspective, you know, the Sheriff's Department is a very large and a complex agency. We have just about 600 employees. And then on top of that, we have about 200 vendors or volunteers that come in on an annual basis. And then we have, I think the count yesterday, I know the count yesterday, inmate count was 1,150. So that's a lot of people that the sheriff is responsible for, particularly of their safety and the safety institution. And that doesn't count the tens of thousands of visitors that come into the jail each and every year to visit the inmates. So it's a busy department. We have a budget of $78 million, which is taxpayers' money, and I take that very serious. Obviously, you know, my experience as a chief of police in Lynn prior to this, I worked with multi-million dollar budgets there, and have that expertise coming in here. But the sheriff's office, it is part of the criminal justice system. We are a law enforcement agency. We serve 34 cities and towns throughout Essex County. We support the courts, local and state law enforcement, and the communities based on need. And there's a variety of needs that we will provide services based on whatever is going on in the local cities and towns.
I know your office and what you do there has changed a lot since you were elected 6 years ago. Maybe tell us more about that, because that would involve mental illness, substance abuse issues, just on top of what you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I ran for sheriff 6 years ago, because, you know, my experience working in Lynn and for the police department and in the city, I learned a lot about what I call the root causes of crime. And most of those, not most of them, but a good percentage of the root causes of crime are based on substance use disorder, particularly the opiate epidemic, as well as mental illness. And I used to see this pattern of recidivism. And it's just the same people, you know, getting arrested, going to court, going to jail, coming back to the community, and they don't know what else to do, and there's nothing happening for them, so they go right back to a life of crime. And next thing you know, they're back in the, you know, the police are getting called, and they're back into court, and they're back up to the jail. So I saw that as an opportunity to make some change, some positive change. So when I got up here, you know, after we settled in, and we put together, I got to say, a tremendous team of professionals here at the jail that we're now focusing on. While the inmates are here in our custody, what can we do so that when they eventually leave us, they'll leave in better shape than when they came in, so they can go back to their communities and be productive members of society again? But I just want to caution people, we are the second largest jail and house of correction in the state, and we have a number of, because we're a pretrial and sentenced inmates, we have pretrial and sentenced inmates, we have some very hardcore inmates here who are accused of some very heinous crimes. So it's a balancing act. We have folks that are charged with murder and child rape and armed robbery and, you know, heavy crimes like that, all the way down to folks with maybe simple drug possession or maybe a drunk driving, multiple offense, larcenies. Some of those we call low risk. So every inmate, when he comes in, you know, we give him an assessment, go through all the usual booking questions that you might think we do, name, address, you know, and date of birth, all that stuff. But we also look at their, if they have a substance use disorder or if they have mental illness. And if we do, then we figure out a plan, almost like an individualized treatment plan. So if somebody has a substance use disorder, and we, you know, we have, by the way, mental health and medical staff here under contract, they'll see what they need. So if there's a medical issue, we have our own medical housing unit. We'll see, make sure we take care of any medical needs. If there's a mental illness need, they're also evaluated for their mental illness. And I'd like to point out, we have over 30 licensed clinical social workers that work here in the jail with us to help address the needs of the inmates. And on top of that, about 2 years ago, I hired a director of clinical services, a woman with 27 years of experience in the mental health field. She's also a licensed clinical social worker who's really top shelf. She's one of the best in the game, and she has a great demeanor with the inmates and the staff to get some positive things done. But just going back more specifically, if somebody's coming in with a substance use disorder, we have a unit up here called CASE. It's Clean and Sober Existence. So if the individual wants to, working very closely with the courts, by the way, and defense attorneys, the district attorney, and probation, they can come in here as a pretrial diversion program. We'll get them off, you know, wean them off any addictions they have, and then we program them intensely for 28 days, and then return them back to the court. So if they've been successful in the programming, hopefully the court will let them, you know, stay at home, you know, reunite with family, reunite with their, keep their employment going, but they don't come into jail. It's a little bit of an opportunity we give the individual, but they need to come in and take advantage of what we're offering them. Similarly, we have programs here, so if somebody wants to, has an addiction problem, but wants to treat it with medication, we are part of the state's medication-assisted treatment pilot program, which came out of the 2018 criminal justice reform that the State House passed and Governor Baker signed. So medication-assisted treatment, not to go too far into details, but it maintains the addiction at a certain level, so the individuals who have the addiction can function normally in society. They're not completely sober, but they're not at a high where they can't function normally. And it's all under a doctor's care, and the treatment is followed by the doctor. So we have that. Then if you talk about mental illness, about half our population, give or take, has some form of mental illness. So about 2 years ago, we created a unit called COPE, Correctional Opportunities for Personal Enrichment, where we took, you know, an individual with this type of low-risk crimes that I talked about before and low-risk mental illness, and we took them out of a traditional 8x10 concrete cell and put them in a dormitory-style housing with about 35 other individuals. And we brought in additional clinical social workers and embedded them right on the unit. So the individuals that are assigned to that unit can just about get treatment on demand, but we also encourage the buddy system. So because it's dormitory-style housing, they, you know, if one guy gets friendly with another guy and he's just having a bad day or just wants to go talk to somebody, they can go over and just, you know, chat back and forth while they're there. So it works pretty good that way. And, you know, we've seen some great reductions in inmate outbursts of, you know, bad behavior, which is good for us because then our officers don't have to use force or any type of force like that. And we seem to have some very successful outcomes so far.
We are talking with Sheriff Kevin Coppinger here on MSONewsSports.com. Sheriff, there is relatively a new program, the STAR program. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Before I get to STAR, if I could throw one more thing at you, Bill.
Yep.
We have over 100 different programs that we can tailor-make to the individuals. And they concentrated not only those areas I mentioned of substance use disorder and mental illness, but we have vocational programs here where we teach the inmates a skill so they can have a job. Hopefully they can get a job when they get released. We teach them and we give them certifications. They can work in the restaurant industry, in the construction industry. We have a program called C-Tech that they can work for fiber optic cabling and Category 5, Category 6 cabling in new construction. But the flagship of our vocational training is what we call Hardscape, where we have partnered with the New England Concrete Manufacturers Association as well as an instructor from the Essex Regional North Shore Technical High School, which is next door here. And we teach the inmates how to build masonry, you know, walkways and landscape walls just to beautify, you know, a property. And the inmates gravitate towards it because it's work they like to do. And then when they do get released, they quite often they're getting hired by local landscapers or masonry contractors. In addition to that, we also have educational programs here where we have brought in Northern Essex Community College as well as Merrimack College to address the educational requirements of the inmates. For instance, if they don't have a high school degree, we can set them up with their high school equivalency, which is called HISET. if they do have it, we can give them, there's college-level courses that are available to the inmates by both of those institutions. And quite often we have classes going on a routine daily basis. And the third area we have is the clinical portion, where we're getting regular treatments, we're giving regular treatment and rehabilitation skills to everybody in there that wants it, but particularly those with the mental illness and the substance use disorder, again, with the goal that when they leave here in better shape than when they came. So a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic of COVID started, I wanted to do the STAR program, which stands for Supporting Transition and Reentry. It was just my vision, I guess you could say, of, remember the problem I mentioned when I was a police chief in Lynn, that we saw the same people coming in and out of jail and the lack of services in the community. So we started to kick it off 2 years ago, and COVID shut the world down, as we know. But we got it back up online in April of this year. We have two STAR offices, one in Lynn and one in Lawrence. We have it staffed by our folks, as well as folks from Spectrum Health Services, and all those other vendors I mentioned to you before, Merrimack College, Northern Essex Community College. What we do is everything that I just described that goes on in the jail while a person is incarcerated here, when they're released, they can actually go to one of the STAR locations and continue those services. Even if they're outside the criminal justice system, we will provide them access to whatever programs or treatment that they need. And then we also have, working very closely with probation and the courts, we have given the courts options with the STAR program. So if a judge has somebody in front of him that he or she may not be comfortable, maybe not incarcerating, the judges can sentence these individuals to the STAR program. We're open evenings, so they can still be under a court's jurisdiction to make sure that they're doing the right thing, but we're also keeping them home with their families, keeping them employed, and again, hopefully giving them that second chance that a lot of them that they often need. And one further point about STAR programs that I've been very happy to mention, and it's my alma mater, so it's coming back from the Lynn Police Department, but the Lynn Police has a bicycle unit that really patrols in the downtown area, and they came to us and they said, if we find people that are living on the street or in need of services in the community, can we bring them into STAR without going through the criminal justice system? We said, by all means, bring them in. It's great. It's not a discipline thing. It's all voluntary. But we're here to provide the services in those communities. We've gotten some grant money to fund this, and we're really thinking that's going to make an impact in improving public safety in our communities.
You know, Sheriff, whenever we talk, you have my head spinning in some ways, in the sense that there are so many moving parts here. It's like a huge jigsaw puzzle that you're working with there and doing pretty well with, it seems like. But there's so many challenges to that office, to the office of sheriff and what you're doing. And I guess, you know, what are some other things that, you know, really have you kind of paddling upstream, that challenges that you still have ahead of you and that you're looking at?
Well, the whole point of what we're doing, like I said before, is the recidivism. So we want to make sure the inmates don't leave us. So I will tell you this, our latest recidivism rates dropped 5% since last year. So that means 5% of the inmates here have a better chance of not coming back to us. That's a big number. That's a big improvement, and that shows what we're doing here is working and is benefiting the inmates and, most importantly, benefiting the communities. But to answer your question specifically, though, Bill, I mean, we have an aging facility here. It was built in the early 1990s. The facility was actually destined for a southern location, but the County of Essex government officials were hit with a court order to close the old Salem jail. So they built this location that we have up here in Middleton. It's prefab, sitting on the top of a hill in Middleton in New England. You can only imagine all these winters, the wear and tear it takes on the facility. So that's one of our biggest challenges right now, is just making sure that the inmates have, you know, good living conditions and we can have the areas to support them. And keep in mind, too, we just came off, like the world did, 2 years of COVID. And we struggled with COVID here. I'm not going to lie, the whole world did. But we, when COVID hit, we did our research. I was in constant contact with the Mass Department of Public Health, and we watched the CDC guidelines coming out of Washington. But we instituted new procedures here for people coming into the jail. So we established a quarantine unit upon arrival for 14 days. That way we could monitor the anybody coming in, so we could hopefully stop the spread of COVID inside here. When the vaccinations came out, we did testing for COVID before we did vaccinations. We set up testing protocols. When the vaccines came in, we offered vaccines to everyone here. And, you know, we still have COVID protocols because, you know, the communities still spike on occasion. So we're still trying to make sure we keep a good handle on it. We have lots of personal protective equipment here. And we work closely with, our outside providers, too, just to make sure, as I've always said here, the most important part about running a jail is make sure it's a safe and secure institution for everybody who may reside here, work here, or even visit here.
I want to, I'll give you one more opportunity, Sheriff, to wrap up any final thoughts you might have, but I want to ask this one question to you. It's really not directed at the sheriff's office as such, because I think it's something that's outside of your realm in some regards, but I think you might be pretty clued into the answer, and that is, are we making progress on the opioid or fentanyl issues, or is it getting worse? What are you hearing?
I don't think it's getting better. I think it's either maintaining, you know, its status quo, or it's getting worse. You know, it got off the front page of the newspapers and in the media because of COVID. COVID overshadowed the fentanyl epidemic we have. People are still dying in our streets. We need more prevention efforts to do this. That's why we're so keyed in on what we do here with our substance use disorder programs. It's still out there. I can tell you now, because I represent 34 cities and towns, it's everywhere. It's not in the cities or towns you may think that would attract a large number of overdoses or folks that are addicted to this stuff. We got to continue to fight the battle. I think part of it is education and prevention, especially with our younger kids in the schools. We just got to make sure they understand the dangers of it. It's so important, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon either.
Well, Sheriff Coppinger, maybe some closing thoughts from you on the office again, or anything on the reelection campaign, or any notes that you want to share with us here in the final moments.
No, I appreciate it, Bill. I would just say I am completing my fifth year, my sixth year now. I love the job. We have been fortunate enough to put a great team as I said before, very dedicated and professional staff here at the jail. I know we're doing the right thing. We're providing services, needed services for our inmates. We're addressing their mental health issues. We're addressing their substance abuse disorders. My next steps, I really would like to do another term, another 6 years, because I have a vision for the second term if I'm, you know, lucky enough to be reelected. But I see growth in trying to get these individuals jobs upon release. You know, as I mentioned before, we have vocational training programs here. We actually had a job fair here about a month ago. We actually brought employers inside the jail, and they interviewed inmates at like 12 different stations in our library area. That and transitional housing. So when the inmates leave here, we're working on programs now to provide them better access to transitional housing, so these folks aren't just going back living on our streets or in our shelters. We want them to get the best chance they can, so they can get that, I keep saying, go back to society as a productive member, reunite with families, and hopefully they never come back to see us. And as I like to say to the inmates when they do leave here, and I always tell them, don't take it the wrong way, I never want to see you again here. But if I see you at Dunkin' Donuts some morning, maybe I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I'll be glad to do that. But I don't want to see them back here at the intake desk, because we want to see them be successful once they enter the reentry phase.
Absolutely. Well, Sheriff Coppinger, always good talking with you. Thanks so much for your time, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much. Take care. Appreciate it.
Yeah, there he is, Sheriff Kevin Coppinger. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewSports.com.